Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I'm delighted to welcome back to the studio Mr. Bill Blaine, who's a strategist at Mint Partners. I'm going through your morning porridge. It's a bit late in the morning to go through through the porridge, but the first line of I would have to disagree with. You say, as hopes for a Greek rescue fade to the same levels of improbability as a decent English summer, perhaps it is time to stop faffing about. Flaffing, you said?
Flaffing, yes.
What's flaffing? About the Greeks.
Oh, it's a great word.
Okay, it's a new word to me. But,
no, flaffing. Perfectly. I'm not going to argue words.
Right, but no, I would disagree. I think it's going to be a great summer weather-wise, but the Greek situation does look like a bit of a disaster.
Zach, get over it. It's going to happen this year, next year, sometime.
Default? We're looking at default.
Yes, of course it is. Greece has to get out of the euro. Let's stop worrying about it. It's just a distraction. Mm. Let's start worrying about the real stuff that's going on. And it's the real stuff that's going on that is more important yes. than whether we can have a deal that saves European politicians, because that's all it will ever be, rather than something that's going to improve markets. In fact, all markets will be improved by a Greek default and exit. And the Greeks will be better off.
So it's actually a healthy thing. We're actually seeing capitalism.
Creative destruction is a very healthy thing throughout capitalism.
The boom and bust is wonderful, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, the euro, great idea, just doesn't work. You cannot have economies trying to readjust under pressure to suit the needs of a single currency. That's been proved. Greece is the most extreme example. Greek economy will do far better outside Greece. That's why so many international global investors are now in Athens waiting for default and waiting to buy the Greek market when it emerges in the next few weeks after an event.
They're like vultures.
Of course they are. That's what capitalism's all about. It's looking for opportunities.
Zach and I'll have a talk after this.
You can try and beat some sense into him, Bill. But I think what we need to look at is get over the distraction of Greece, which is about politicians desperately trying to keep what little credibility they have left. And let's talk about
the
real issue.
Keep the gravy train going, yeah.
Well, Europe will succeed. There will be a euro, and it will be a smaller number of more closely aligned countries. That will work. What they have today does not. But what we need to look at and think about today are what are the opportunities that stem in markets from the current ructions. And I think you need to be aware of what the dangers are. And the big one, of course, is the market ready for what everyone expects? Everyone knows later this year we're going to have a Fed hike. That means the end of the distortion era, the end of the era of QE money propping up bond yields, but also causing stocks to look perversely attractive, even at a time of global recession. Now, we've got a situation where we've many stock watchers saying that markets are overvalued and looking set for a correction, even my own stock watchers.
The CAPE reading. I was reading that in the paper this morning. I can't remember what it actually stands for, but it was something about the stocks being as overvalued as they were in 99, 2007. And
I think it was, ICANN yesterday saying another 2007. Every day someone says this is going to be terrible, but eventually some of these people are going to be right. I've been saying Greece is going to be a problem for
3,000 years.
Yeah, exactly. And one day I'm going to be right. But always, let's just laugh about Greece for a second. Do remember, Greece as a country, founded in 1826. How many years since then has it been in default? 93. There you go. This is not
new. It's just what they do.
It is what they do.
Well, they do best, perhaps. But,
standard operating procedure.
Well, we hope not. But, joking aside from what's going to be a very difficult situation, whatever happens in Greece, it does look irreconcilable. But what does it mean for European stocks? Well, I rather suspect that we're going to get a by-the-event rally. So if we do see Greece forced to close down the banks for capital controls, mount a default, which is going to be most felt at the ECB because ultimately they're the holder of most Greek debt, we will see the European markets say, wow, that's behind us, let's get on. Why that? Because I think after that, Europe can concentrate.
You sure there won't be like a domino effect? I mean, that's the other thing. That you can, yeah. People say, well, we've managed to get Greece down. Let's go for Italy next.
Well, let's look at the reality. 3 years ago, I think you would have had a domino effect, which would have been the banks all to sustain massive losses on any sovereign default. Now most of the sovereign debt is contained within national institutions or the European Central Bank. So we're not going to have a bank default. We've also got a situation where most of the other European countries have been making the requisite reforms, with the exception, I think, particularly of Italy. But certainly Portugal no longer looking the problem it was, Spain no longer the issue, and certainly countries like Ireland look like they've come out of
this
quite well.
I mean, this goes back, I don't know how many years ago, I was being interviewed by one of those other TV stations, okay?
That would be the one beginning with Bloom and ending in...
I think, yes. Titanic. Oh, Berg, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And Manus Crane asked me, he said, well, you know, what do you think about Ireland? You know, and I said, Manus, I'll tell you right now, you know I'm a bond man. Mm-hmm. I'll buy everything. I mean, I'll buy everything they got. Okay, I would have made almost 475% in 6 years. For the simple fact is probably everybody was willing to sell me Ireland, okay?
Exactly. Exactly.
So you're sure that, you know, the Greek goes down and then Greece goes down and then they start attacking the bond yields in Italy, going to 10%, 15%, 20% there was that type of activity before.
There was in the past because you were concerned about
surfing the pigs situation.
Yeah, but you're concerned about the relationship between banks' holdings of sovereign debts and sovereigns. I think we're away
from
that.
Jack, let's look at this point, okay? The reason why they won't. Italy is the third largest bond market in the world, okay? When Italy went from being Italy to getting into the European, okay, I was trading Italian bond swaps at ICAP, right? We saw the yield in Italian bonds against bunds drop 900 basis points in 6.5 months, okay? Everybody, when Greece decided to join, thought it'd be the same thing. So they start setting up swaps, right? They couldn't find the bonds. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are no Greek bonds, okay, versus Italian bonds.
There is another factor to look at, and that's the ECB's QE program. And the ECB's QE program buys government bonds according to strict key limits. And these key limits are linked to the size of the economy and the contribution to the euro. But the effect is that when you have a very large bond market and a significant player, it's better to be invested in Italian bonds because it's a more liquid market and the ECB can buy more of them. Therefore, these Italian bonds, perversely, despite their credit, are a better bet than some of the smaller European markets, which, although they have a big key within the ECB's buying program, are less liquid. What I'm saying is it's easier for the ECB to be doing its QE by buying Italian bonds than it is to go out
that
and
actually
buy...
perversely saves the next weakest link is Italy, but it's saved by its own liquidity.
Well, it's going to be saved by the fact there's no longer the same bank linkage, there is no longer the same liquidity concerns, and of course you've got politics. That the big thing in Greece that's triggered this particular crisis was the big turnaround in politics where you got a left-wing government that was willing to take on Europe. Didn't quite work. We have similar situations, left-wing parties, in some of the other countries, but not to the same extent. Even the recent Spanish regional elections demonstrated that it's unlikely we'll be in a situation where you have a total wipeout of the established political systems and a replacement by new things.
Spain's been totally saved by having the right wing or a conservative. Yeah. I mean, if they hadn't been there, the place was, you know, worse than Greece. So
let's see what happens next. But I do think we're unlikely to see the kind of contagion that we were feared about in 2012. That said, there are going to be a lot of questions asked about the euro's credibility. I actually
really
yeah, but I actually think, Bill, that we may end up giving them points if they do the right thing through this crisis. If the ECB turns around and says, right, you've got to exit, you've got to get out of the euro and default, and we are going to hold your hand and help you and start acting like a grown-up central bank, which they're more than capable of doing, then they'll come out looking like they've done the right thing, which is creating a stronger Europe.
And let me tell you what, I feel that will work, because the simple fact is, being an American, as you know, okay,
I never guessed.
Well, I've worked on my accent. But you see, the thing that the European Central Bank has to realize, the Federal Reserve has districts. The Federal Reserve, if there's a problem in San Francisco, they adjust the rates there. If there's a problem in Detroit. And the ECB now is finally realizing one size does not fit all. This could be, as you just said, a Greek default, departure, etc., could be the maturity of the European Central Bank rather than by design.
Nice way of putting it, I think.
I would be impressed if that's happened, okay? And I would become not pro-Europe, but I'd become neutral. And I think that is an extremely important point that you just brought up.
This brings us on to the next stage in the market game, which is what stock markets do you want to be invested in? Now, we know that the global bond bear market has begun. Mm. We've seen global bond yields rise significantly, including in Europe, for various reasons. So what stock markets are the alternatives? Certainly, we're concerned about the US. Now, I think it's very likely in the next month we'll see the TPP, Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement, signed between the US and Asia. That is massively positive for Japan. It's going to help Abenomics and it's going to push the Nikkei higher. The other market to watch is going to be Europe, and I think we'll see a recovery from the lows that we've recently hit in the European stock markets after the gains they made and then they came off. I think this is the time to be thinking about when to jump into European stock markets. I'm waiting for the next part of this febrile market to collapse, and that's going to be my buy signal.
Bill Blaine, on that optimistic note, strategist at Mint Partners, thank you for putting your head on the block and being an optimist, because I don't know if anybody
Someone
else
would have to.
I think it's brilliant. I agree.
Well, hopefully, next time you come in, you can have a lap of honor in terms of your bullish call.
I would just go for my China call. 3 weeks ago, I said, China, it's a bubble, it's about to burst. I was told what an idiot I was, how I knew nothing about China. Guess what? In the next 2 weeks, it was off 17%. Yay!
On that note, we'll be back after the break.